This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Run like a wild man.
I want you to struggle and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is. From Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Auburn Arena time is 8:50 Central Daylight Time. Your digital audio device is tuned to the Orange and True podcast, harbored by collegeandmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. I'm Drew Croson, at Son of Crow 2 on Twitter, at Son of Crow on Venmo. To one side of me is the rumor monger, Ryan Starrett, at Ryan S. Starrett. The S is for slow motion tonight. Got on real slow. To the other side of me, giving you full Fort Payne ASMR, via the magic of the internet, a man who only puts premium unleaded in his car, the AU Chief.
Good day, mate.
On today's show, we are going to do a fantasy basketball draft of Auburn players all time in basketball. Now, the way this is going to work, we're going to make a lot of people angry because the three of us, while this is the comprehensive and encyclopedic compendium of all things Auburn basketball, we don't actually know everything about Auburn basketball past, I don't know, some of us that fairly recently. Ryan's 14 years old, so it's not really like he even has a reference for a lot of this stuff. But we're probably not going to name.
If it was before Bruce, it didn't happen.
We might not pick John Mingold. Maybe we will. So if you're a all-time Auburn basketball fan, which, you know, most of us are, you know, recent Auburn basketball fans, as we're called, you might be upset. But for the rest of you, we hope you really enjoy it. The way it's also going to work, we're going to have 6 players per team. I have the 3rd pick and the 4th pick because we're doing a snake draft. Who has the 1st pick?
That would be Chief.
Chief, only because Chief's birthday is closest to a day that another person on our Slack randomly selected. So, because of that, Chief gets
June
9th first.
June 9th was the pick, by the way.
Yeah, so.
The rain date.
I'm a pretty big drag of that. That's a pretty big drag to me because my birthday is in December. So, December 12th, if you are listening to this, you're like, I wonder how I'm going to Venmo Crow all that money. That's a good time to do it. Also, I really want a new bike. I'm not above asking the podcast fans to make that happen. I know that some of you are like, I got all this extra coronavirus money. I just want to give it to somebody. Give it to Crow. I could use a new bicycle.
Did I hear that correctly? December 12th?
December 12th, that's right.
And it's the day before my stepmom's birthday.
Nice. Yeah, 12-12, baby.
Nice.
12-12, I was born.
A month after my wife's birthday.
I was born 12 minutes until 12 o'clock midnight as well.
No, you weren't.
I was. I was born 11:48 p.m.
So you were almost born on the same day as my stepmom.
Which is my parents' anniversary.
Oh.
Which would have been, they were just trying to get that.
They're like, get him out of here. Yeah. All right, so you guys ready to do this?
I am, because I won the lottery.
Chieftain, you got the number one pick?
I do. Number one pick. Taking one Sir Charles Barkley.
Who could have seen that coming?
Huge upset. Charles Barkley does not appear in the top 25 all-time for Auburn in points.
Well, that's just fine.
He's one of the 25 best NBA players, maybe.
So are we basing this?
NBA Hall of Famer.
Are we basing this only on his college career, or how is this working? Is this like...
It's a fantasy draft. You can make whatever team you want.
So, are we trying to say whose team would win in a 5-on-5 game, college rules, in Auburn Arena, everybody's in their prime? Their prime being
sure.
They're 21 years old. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we can have the listeners grade us if they'd like, but...
Sure, okay. I just got to know what I'm picking here.
This by, like, filling out a roster. So what position are you going to have Charles playing?
I'm just upset I can't only pick Rashiem Barrett once, if you ask me.
Oh, I'm going to have Charles playing the four. Like,
all right. 100%. So I guess it falls to me. I'm on the clock at this point.
Yeah.
And this goes back to a question we were talking about before the show started. Who's Auburn's only consensus All-American?
Christopher Porter.
It would be Chris Porter. I mean, I can't turn down that kind of resume.
He's actually the only Auburn player, based on sportsreference.com, to be first or second team All-American, which that seems crazy and incorrect, but that's what... Like I'm almost positive a Person brother was at least second team All American.
Did you guys know that Barkley is like the fourth all time guy in blocks at Auburn?
I did not until
he's number one
just now.
Not all time. Sorry, this is per season.
Kyle Davis is first all time.
No, wide receiver.
Yes, former wide receiver.
Kyle Davis, I don't believe, is first.
In total blocks.
Anthony's got to be up there.
Anthony's fifth in total blocks.
Hold on. I'm looking at the media guide.
You're looking at blocks per game?
Yeah. Is this block? What is this?
What page are you on there, Chief?
I'm on the one that says blocks on page 56.
Whoa, that's way back.
Because I would have thought it was Kyle Davis as well. Because... Kyle Davis did have. I don't know what these numbers are.
So.
It looks like these are averages, my guy.
What is this? 126. Kyle did not have 126 blocks in a season. Did
in a game, no.
Where? Okay, no, so I'm.
Because Kyle had his most blocks his freshman season, I think.
Yes, he did have 126 blocks in a season. I think that's what that is, man.
So on.
But that's his junior season. I don't think that happened. In junior season.
On page 56, I'm seeing blocks on a, like, best season.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. Why?
It's I believe it's who led the team in blocks per season. It's who led. Yeah, who led the team in blocks per season? And Kyle Davis in 02-03 had 126 blocks. That's bonkers, by the way.
That's pretty
wild. Why is there not a number, a total blocks for career?
It's up here. It's on page. This is the guys read the media guide together. I believe that is on page 49.
Career blocks. 49. Okay. Here we go.
Kyle Davis leads with 306.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Okay. Sorry, 49 is single season records. But yes, you're right. Career blocks is on page, a different record, different one.
Here we go.
Top five: Kyle Davis, Mamadou, and say the last name for me.
Njai.
Okay. Horace Spencer, number three. Oh boy. Corvante Barber.
Look who's number one in field goal percentage, my friends.
One
Charles Barkley.
What page are you guys on now?
47.
Okay, great. This is the best podcast of all time.
this is like how
this is a book club.
Draft goes, though. It gets derailed.
This is a book club on podcast of the Auburn University Basketball Media Guide.
Did you know that Charles played center? He was a center at Auburn.
He played everything.
Well, yeah. That's why I'm tentatively putting it at four. I've got other plans.
You guys know, number two all time in terms of a best rebounding mark for a single season is for Auburn?
Tell us.
Number two is Simeon Bowers.
Man, a point guard, that is just impressive.
And pretty good for a point guard. In 2014-15, he had 326 boards.
Is that your pick, number three there?
No, I'm the third pick. And with my third pick, I'm going to take... Let me see... Chuck the Rifleman Person. Number one all time in points in a season, number one all time in field goals made in a season, and number two, and number six.
And we know he could hit the three.
Number one in our hearts.
Because he did play in the three era in the NBA.
Number six all time in points per game for a season.
Where are you playing him, Crow?
Well, in the modern basketball, I'd play him at the three.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I get the fourth pick?
And you also get the fourth pick.
All right. With my fourth pick, I'm going to take one, Jared Harper.
And I know
this is a tough one because obviously are there better players for Auburn? Yes. I don't think Jared is the fourth best player in the history of the program. But I do think that he is the first best point guard in the history of the program. So, and I know people are going to say Wes Flanagan was a great player, Doc Robinson was a great player, Quantes Robinson
Doc's my dude.
Was a great player. You could even make the case that Marquise Daniels played point guard for a little bit.
It's because he's the only one that touched the ball for half the time.
Right. I mean, Auburn has had some decent point guards, but nobody to me who was as that. This is that dude that when he has the ball, we have a better chance to win than the other team does just because he's on the roster.
Yeah.
So, yes, we've got Jared at number four.
Right, playing him at the five, right?
No, I'm playing him at the one, Ryan. Surprise to everybody. So right now, my 3-point shooting is going to be in fuego with Jared Harper and Chuck Person.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right, so it falls to me at number five. All right, got options here.
I'm hoping that Josh Dubb is listening to this podcast. Number one, number two, making an Excel spreadsheet with all our picks. And number three,
what's he doing right now?
Well, I want him to do it, Ryan. I want Josh to do it, and I want him to make some sort of simulation to play these teams against one another and to see who wins. And I want him to do it to where I win. All right, your pick.
I feel like I need some scoring here. Your guard. I've got two guys in mind, and I'm leaning towards Bryce Brown, probably the most prolific shooter in Auburn history. He's one of the best 3-point shooters in NBA history, or in not NBA history, hopefully NBA history, in college basketball history. But I'm also looking at John Mangel.
The all-time leader in points per game, John Mangel.
Yeah, so I mean, in 3 years, he averaged 25 points per game.
It's pretty nuts.
Incredible.
In the 70s or in the late 60s.
That's three-point line basketball.
Yeah, no 3-point line, no high pace offenses going for 100 a game.
Sure. Dude got to the line a lot.
Yeah, he is number one and number two all time in free throws made for the Auburn Tigers.
Yes, he's
208. 208 free throws made in 1970 is bonkerwitz. 208 is nuts.
So that's going to be my pick is John Mangel. Put him at the two.
All right.
Honestly, I can't say I've ever seen him play. Can't say anything about his defense, but I don't think I can turn that up.
Ryan, he played 55 years before you were born.
He sure did.
Chief, your turn with the sixth pick.
All right. Well, wait, who did you go with, Ryan?
Ryan went with John Mangel.
Oh, dang. Well, I guess I need to go with my guy, Bryce Brown, on this one. I need some 3-point shooting. Not that Chuck couldn't shoot the three, but he didn't in college. We have no idea if he could have then. I got to go with Bryce. He's a great defender. He is a excellent, excellent shooter.
Well, you guys, right now there's people yelling. You guys are just picking the current guys, the more recent guys. And let me tell you,
well, I mean those are probably the best players outside of the other couple guys that we
just picked. Wait. Yeah. I'm about to make them even madder because with my pick at number seven.
Oh, whoa! I get to go.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah. My fault.
Snake draft.
Crap. You're right.
So,
I thought I always get two picks and you guys only get one each time. I thought that's how it works.
No, that's not how this works at all.
Oh, drag.
This is terrible pod right here because I don't know. I wasn't
right now. Chief is looking at a screen and thinking really hard. We don't know what he's going to do. It could be literally anybody. It might be you. He might pick you next.
Because I'm going to play Bryce at the two.
Sure.
I got something I really want to do.
Yeah.
Get weird with it.
But I'm not going to do it. Because I have two choices. It's either Marquise Daniels at three or Shimo Kiki at three.
Man, this is tough.
I tell you, having Bryce, Chuma, and Charles Barkley is 2, 3, and 4 is formidable.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But Marquise is also a 10-year NBA player who was also a very good player at Auburn.
Do you get NBA defense, Marquise?
Yeah, that's the
question. You get everybody at 21 years old.
You get a little bit of coaching in this college time.
Because, I love these older players, and there's some older players I really want to pick. But with Chuma Okeke still on the table, I think I got to take Chuma Okeke.
Wow. Well, you have another pick? No.
Yeah, Chuma Okeke. That was it. It's Bryce and Chuma.
That's Ryan's turn.
Yeah, you took Chuma from me. I think that might have been where I was going. Let's see. I'll tell you, I'm feeling KT Harrell, and I want to kind of just get a guaranteed 3-point shooter.
KT Harrell,
scorer. We just don't know about his 3-point shooting.
Right.
We can think it's safe to assume he would have been a good shooter. Let's see, for his career, what was he? Well, he was a 49% from the field. So yeah, I'm gonna lean KT Harrell. Get the 3-point shooting locked up.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Isaac Okoro.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
He's the best player I've ever seen play in Auburn Arena, besides John Morant. Yeah, so I'm going with Isaac Okoro.
I'm going to put him at the 2 or the 4?
At the... that's a good question. I'm going to put him at the 4. And then my next pick, I need to pick a 2, don't I? Or a 5. 5?
Just take best player available as your first man off the bench.
Right. 5s are tougher to come by the way, in Auburn basketball history. If you look at it, because it's an interesting, just in terms of college basketball in general, 5s are not the easiest position to find gems. But if you look at Auburn, all of our major stats, a lot of guys are power forwards. Even blocks, you got a lot of power forwards in there.
Well, fives in college are always interesting because a lot of them haven't grown into their body by the time they get to college. At 18 years old, if you're big enough to be, you're probably not physical enough or used to your body at that point.
Right.
So I think that's just kind of a broad statement for all of college basketball.
Yeah, I can't play Marco Killingsworth at the 2.
You can play him at the 5, though.
Nah, I don't really want to play him at the 5. I freaking love Marco Killingsworth. And I can't really, in good conscience, pick Sidmeon Bowers as much as I want to, man. I really do. So, instead, I'm going to take rebounding. I got defense. I got defense with Okoro, but he's not the best rebounder on the team. So I got no rebounding. So I'm going to take the guy who led Auburn.
DeSean Murray.
No, all-time leader in rebounding for a season, 08-09. My guy, rest in peace, Korvatny Barber will be my pick. The first McDonald's All-American Auburn ever signed.
the only.
I believe, well, I think Sharif. Until, yeah, it was Sharif.
Until Sharif.
Yeah, so the only McDonald's All-American until Sharif Cooper. Kravatny Barber had 347 boards in 2008-09.
That's a lot.
On the way to the NIT, a team that got snubbed and really, really should have been a tournament team. And, man, you talk about Auburn basketball history. How different would it have been had that 08-09 team not gotten – like, basically Stanford had more of a name brand. And so Stanford got in the tournament over Auburn. And really, Auburn was the better – Auburn was much better since after New Year's than Stanford that year and was trending better but got shut out because they were Auburn and Stanford was Stanford. Meanwhile – you know, Vaught Barber and Robertson, Quantes Robertson and Quan Prowler, they're having a really good year that year. Man, that is the most serious sports talk I've ever done on this podcast. Call in with your thoughts. All right, so that's my two picks. I got Okoro and Vaught.
Tell you, so...
My team is big.
Yeah, you're getting some value out of Vaught. He's actually fourth all time in career field goal percentage with Auburn too.
Bro, he was a machine.
He's not just a rebounder.
He's a dude.
He was a machine. He came
was
to
the bright spot of the Jeff Lebo era.
Yes. And him coming to Auburn never made any sense to me because had he gone to a different school, I feel like he would have gotten a lot more NBA look. He never got any NBA looks whatsoever. And I never really understood it because well, I do understand it kind of that the game began passing his position by around the time he began playing it the way he plays it. He played it. So, yeah. We signed him, and then, what's his name? Plays for the Jazz. Went to Georgia Tech for a year. People thought we were going to get him, but we didn't get him. But I can't remember what his name is. So, Dynamite drop in, Crow?
All right, Ryan, you're
back
up.
Back to me. So I either need a point guard or a center. Mm-hmm. Either extreme here.
Derek Favors, by the way. I'm not an idiot. I remember. It came to my mind. Okay.
So I've got some scoring in Mengelton, KT. I've just got an all-around awesome player in Chris Porter, the four. You know, we were talking about PER earlier, guys that just kind of, even if they didn't put up the best numbers, you know, traditional back of the baseball card numbers, just graded out amazing. I'm going to go with, well, maybe the most polarizing player in the last couple of years, Austin Wiley.
Oh, okay.
That's not a bad pick, dude. As the number one Austin,
absolutely went off the charts in PER this past year.
Yeah, as the preeminent Austin Wiley stan on this podcast, I support that pick.
Gives me some good defense down low. You got plenty of size now with Porter and Wiley. I like that. Get some rebounds too. Offensive boards. We're gonna be taking a bunch of threes, and Austin Wiley's gonna be picking up all those offensive boards.
He was a rebounding machine. Now, Chief gets two picks. Is that right?
I do. Back to Chief for two.
I do.
To the Chieftain.
Well, I'm going to take Doc Robinson as my point guard. I'm going to round up my team here. I love Doc. I couldn't take Jared since he's off the board. I love Wes Flanagan, but Doc's my guy. He's still my favorite Auburn point guard. I love Jared to death, but I wasn't 14 years old watching Jared play. So,
I was.
Trying to look for his shooting percentages. Let's look at assists first. That's what matters. He averaged 4.4 assists a game for his career. He didn't shoot a lot of threes. That's where he differs from Jared quite a bit. He, his three-point percentage was 30%.
Point guards back then didn't shoot a ton of threes.
Right,
that was
right. He didn't shoot. He didn't shoot a lot at all. But he was a good free throw shooter. So it's about a nearly 80% free throw shooter. So it's pretty good. He could score. I'm trying to find where it tells me how many he scored every game. Should have done a little prep work for this, I suppose.
This is why people listen to this podcast. To think, man, why didn't they draft Ronnie Battle?
What I think is happening is Chief realizes he's still on the clock and has no idea who he's going to pick.
Oh, no, I know who I'm picking next. This is who I picked.
Well, you got two picks.
Yeah, but I know who I'm picking next.
I mean, Ronnie Battle's still on the board.
It's going to be...
Perez Ward?
No. Look.
My guy.
There are two people that I want to pick, and I can only pick one, and it hurts my heart to only pick one. I love Mamadou Ndiaye. I love him to death.
You need a five.
I think he was a great player. If I had to pick him, I would. I think he might have been a slightly better overall all-around player than Kyle Davis. But Kyle Davis is going to – nobody's going to be scoring inside on us if I have Kyle Davis and Charles Barkley underneath.
And Chuma Okeke.
So I'm going with Kyle Davis, the block machine. And that rounds out my
starting five.
So,
all right, so to recap, Chief has Doc Robertson, Bryce Brown, Chuma Okeke, Charles Barkley, and Kyle Davis. That's just five.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that Chuma and Charles combo right there, that's just going to be a nightmare. I mean, they're just crazy athleticism. They're going to be able to, especially if you're talking about with today's offense, they can both shoot inside and out. They're going to be able to play with the pace. And yeah, it's a good five there, Chief.
Yeah, and a pretty big five because I've got a 6'2 point guard, 6'4 shooting guard, 6'7 at the three, and then another 6'4 at the four, and then a 7-footer at center, so. It's pretty good.
Nice.
All right, so I am down to either taking the best player available to put on the bench or a point guard. And I'm struggling because, I mean, outside of Jared Harper and Doc, I don't know who to take at the point. I mean, Javon's on the board just because I know him. I know what I'm getting there.
Chris Denson is on the board.
Sure. I mean, I could even take Samir and put him at the point, and that I don't think that would hurt me too bad.
Quantes Robertson on the board. Frankie Sullivan on the board.
And put him on the bench. And Auburn's third all-time scorer, Wesley Person.
Oh, nice.
He was on my list. I almost took him if I wasn't going to get Bryce, I was going to take Wesley. So.
Yeah, so he played at the very beginning of the three-point era. He's a guard. And he was shooting for upper 40%.
Yeah.
In his sophomore year at Auburn, he was 49% from three. That is wild.
Yeah, he may have been the better shooter in college than Chuck, and his cousin Chuck. I guess Chuck played before the three-point line in college, so, right? Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
I believe, yes.
Because, what was it, 89 or 90?
We have no stats for him playing with threes.
Yeah, so. We only know he can shoot it because he shot it in the NBA.
And Wesley, he had some size, too. He was a 6'6 guard. He was picking up, for his career, he was 6.5 rebounds a game. Clearly plenty of upside, had a decent NBA career. So that's my six.
So you're done.
I'm going to wait on a point guard.
You're done.
No, I don't have a point guard yet.
Okay.
He doesn't have a point guard yet.
And Chief already has Marquise, right?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, then I'm taking Marquise Daniels.
Yeah, that was good. I figured you would.
Yeah, Marquise Daniels is my shooting guard. So my team has got Jared Harper at the one, Marquise Daniels at the two, Chuck the Rifleman Person at the three, Isaac Okoro playing the four, and Vaught Barber at the five. I'm winning this thing. And then at my
shooters and quality defense here.
And my back, am I off the bench? I'm taking a 6'2 guard from Roswell, Georgia. Number 10, Scott Pullman.
Oh man, great pull. That's my guy.
Dude, Scott Pullman could fill it up.
Oh, you know, Scott Pullman was on the 98-99 team, my friend, and he for the longest time had the honor of being the person that played the most games.
Yeah, for a while.
I think
he is all SEC all freshman team.
A shooter.
SEC all freshman team his freshman year, 97-98, 12th all time Auburn in scoring, has 1,442 points, averaged 11.2 points per game for his Auburn career, and just was a shooter, man. Like Chief said, yeah, he's a career 34% field goal shooter. And that includes, 34% three-point shooter and a 40% field goal shooter. So that's, he played a ton of minutes as well, averaged 28 minutes a game for his Auburn career. And that includes two seasons in which he averaged over 29 minutes a game. So played a lot of minutes, played a lot of games. Yeah. He started a ton of those games. He started every game he was available for almost, which is wild. Yeah, Scott Pullman was a great player. So I like my little squad. I didn't get a chance to draft Frank Tolbert, unfortunately, because I would have. Shout out to Frank Tolbert.
12-finger man.
Cranky 12-fingers. And I didn't get a chance to draft Mustafa Heron. Had this gone to 10, out of 10 people, I would have gotten staff for show.
I think we could have stretched this out to a 17.
Let me tell you, I would have had
a
staph infection. That's what I would have called my team.
Now we know Crow's secrets.
Yeah. So is everybody's team set?
No.
You were the first pick of the sixth round.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so now I've got to get a point guard, and Chief's got to get whoever he wants on the bench.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly who I want. So
I think I know where you're going to go. One of two people, at least, Chief.
Okay.
But neither of those are a point guard, so not too worried there. I'm going to take somebody with, you know, good leadership quality. We know he can help out on the coaching side if needed. I'll take Wes Flanagan.
It's good pick.
Yeah, I mean, he's second all time in assists for Auburn.
I mean, that's where I was going if somebody else picked Doc. So
okay. Yeah, I mean, he's got all the intangibles that you want, and he wasn't really a shooter. Like I said, point guards really weren't shooters back then. But I've got Miguel and KT taking plenty of shots for me. Wes Flanagan. Maybe I can parlay that into Alan Flanagan 20 years from now.
I'm really excited about my pick, man. Really excited.
Is this just like a really classic player you're gonna go with here, Chief?
It is. His name hangs from the banners, from the rafters, on a banner in Auburn Arena. Mike Mitchell, may he rest in peace.
Nice, nice shot. Nice job.
He is number two in points all time for the Auburn Tigers. He was the 15th pick in the 1978 NBA draft to San Antonio Spurs, I believe. I don't really know.
Go, Spurs, go.
I don't know who picked him, but he was
back in Pop's first season.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Played with Tim Duncan for a couple years.
He averaged 20.4 points a game. He rebounded 9.6 rebounds a game. He has the second most field goals made behind Chuck Persons with 926. He also has the second most attempted right behind Chuck Persons.
Volume.
Yeah, his rebounding average was 10.2 a game. No, wait. 9.6. He's number three. He is number one in total rebounds for all of Auburn history with 996. Guys, this might be the best player in Auburn history, Mike Mitchell, at the college level.
Just in terms of
It's probably – there's three people that are in contention for this, and it is John Mangel, Mike Mitchell, and Chuck Person, probably.
As the second best player in Auburn history?
Maybe the first.
Didn't say Charles, so I wasn't sure.
Charles, I guess, is in contention. Charles did not, as a career, I don't think, met his full potential in Auburn.
He was still growing into what he was going to become.
Yeah. I also think he was still kind of lazy at the time. He's talked about that.
Yeah.
Mike Mitchell, he passed away 9 years ago now, but he's one of the four best players to ever play at Auburn. There's a reason his name hangs from those rafters, and he's my bench guy. He could easily be my guy in my starting five, but I feel like I could bring him in and he could play several different positions for the Tigers. So that's why he's my sixth man. Cause he could sub in and probably play, five through two. So.
Well, hey, let's have some fun and do one more round.
Sure.
Let's take coaches. And Chief, you're back up first.
Wait a minute. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard, right?
Coaches?
No, cause mainly because I want to see where you go there, Drew.
Yeah.
Bruce Pearl.
Okay, Sonny Smith. Drew, I guess.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
It's got to be Cliff Ellis. There's no other options.
I mean, I like Lebo as a... Lebo as an X's and O's coach. He wasn't the best recruiter on earth, but I liked him as an X. Yeah, I gotta go with Cliff Ellis. Sure. So I got a Cliff Ellis coached team with Jared Harper, and we're gonna score a lot of points. It's gonna be fun to watch. We might lose a game that we shouldn't lose, but that's the way it's gonna be.
Probably driving nicer cars.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, got to keep it down home, cuz.
Yeah. Guys are we're much more musical with Cliff Ellis as a coach.
Absolutely. Ryan, Cliff Ellis used to sing a lot in front of people, yeah. That's what he's talking about. I was almost going to say Ralph Sugar Jordan was going to be my head coach, but.
Wow.
But yeah, no, I'm going with Cliff.
I think we got, we've got at least. I'll pick one more player too, I think, right?
Yeah, I'm okay with stretching this out in a couple more rounds.
Honestly, actually, I think we're pretty good with six because we've gone 37 minutes so far on this pod. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Auburn's new signee in football, and then we'll preview.
We'll learn what a blue shirt is.
I want to know what a blue shirt is. I'm gonna have Ryan tell us all about it. All right, let's take a quick break. And we're back 38 minutes exactly into the podcast. That's pretty exciting. Right on.
Time to throw another shrimp on the bobby.
Let's do it, mate. Oh, yeah. As the Kiwis say, churcozo. But we're talking about an Aussie. An Aussie that Auburn has signed to be our punter, who played a little bit of footy, as they call it, down under. Ryan, tell us all about him.
Oscar Chapman. That's the name to know.
Why, Mr. Chapman?
Going to be Bo Nix as the punter on the roster. He's going to be blue shirting. Do you guys have any idea what that is?
Are we sure that he's blue shirting?
Yeah, that was
that's what he
offered
said.
Up by him. He said he was going to blue shirt.
I don't know what that even means.
It's not like it's a.
I do, but we'll let Ryan explain.
Okay. So my understanding of it is that a blue shirt will be able to come in and he is. On scholarship as soon as he gets to campus. It's not a delayed thing like a gray shirt is.
But what that means is that he was not officially recruited by Auburn. Auburn spent no money bringing him to campus, going to visit him. It doesn't mean they never talked to him. But there was no formal recruitment.
Wild. Pro Kick. Yeah, Pro Kick Australia.
Where a lot of these Australian punters come from. Basically, Auburn can just call Pro Kick and say, hey, we're looking to come to the U.S. this year with a punter. See if it's interesting. You know, just kind of do the recruitment that way. Well, no one has to go over to Australia. He doesn't have to come to the campus. But yeah, I mean, he's going to have all the same eligibility as any other recruit. The only difference is that
some walk on as a great fall camp, whatever camp is.
He has some pretty great highlights for the North Adelaide Roosters. Been watching a lot of Aussie Rules during the coronavirus. I'm going to write an article probably in the next couple of days. Yeah, but I've been watching a lot more Super Rugby than I have Aussie Rules. Super Rugby, as far as this podcast is concerned, we are an Auburn Tigers number one podcast, but number two, we're probably the Hurricanes of Wellington. Well, the good news, Chief, is that Wellington is in New Zealand, and New Zealand has zero cases of the virus. So, no, they completely shut down for a little bit, and now they got fans in stands, man. They got fans in stands. Sure, yeah. Nobody in, nobody out. They went crowded sky bar rules. They got 5 million people. But their 5 million people have zero cases of coronavirus. They are essentially a bubble, living life as normal, getting to go to their sporting events. Wellington has the Hurricanes. That's our favorite team, as far as this podcast is concerned. But Oscar Chapman, though, didn't play rugby. He played Aussie Rules, which is a completely different code of football, as it's called. And he played for North Adelaide. And I'm sure he's young. I think he's younger than Tsipas. Yeah, because he played in the U18s last year, I was reading about.
Yeah. So it's not like Tsipas, where he had been a professional for a while and was just deciding to come to the U.S. and get a degree in play some college football.
Now, I don't know what made him want to give it a go, as they say, in terms of switching to American football, or gridiron, as they might call it. But I'm interested to find out, because Tsipas, it was like a terrible injury. Sure. He was drafted in the middle of the year last year.
What's that?
He was drafted in the middle of the season last year. Yes. The draft is in the middle, which is super wild.
Well, that's what it might be this year, too. If football gets moved in the spring, it might be that way for American football.
That's absolutely right. And he might have a full extra year to prepare himself for the rigors of American football on the gridiron. I wonder how good of a receiver he is the real question. That's all we all want to know.
As long as he looks good at receiver, that's all I care about.
I just want him to look confusing at receiver. As long as he gets out there and goes, what the heck's going on? That's the best. I want him to look like two people, because then everybody thinks we can't count, and then they lose track of how to count. Oh, I like that. Boom it. Chapman, boom it. I like that way more than I like Mike Man. Hot take. Anyway, thanks for listening, you guys. That's all we got. Next week, we're going to do the same thing, but for American football. A fantasy draft that should take a long time. So everybody has a little week to prepare. They probably will after this nonsense. So what I'd like... hey, let us know whose team wins, though. All that matters is my team beats these other two jokers' squads in 5-on-5. That's true. All right. I will see you guys next week. Thanks a lot for listening, and War Eagle.